वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेष्व भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णे स्वधामोपगते धनमज्ञानादिभिः सह कलौ नष्ट दृशामेष पुराणार्कोऽधुनोदितः ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय। वी आर ऑन द फिफ्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 16 व्हिच इज एंटाइटल्ड ए डिस्क्रिप्शन ऑफ जम्बूद्वीप एंड आई विल रीड द चैप्टर समरी फर्स्ट देन वी विल डू टेक्स्ट नंबर 1। While describing the character of Maharaj Priyavrata and his descendants, Shukdev Goswami also described Meru Mountain, the planetary system known as Bhumandala. Bhumandala is like a lotus flower, and its seven islands are compared to the whorl of the lotus. The place known as Jambudvipa is in the middle of that whorl. In Jambudvipa there is a mountain known as Sumeru, which is made of solid gold. The height of this mountain is 84,000 yojanas, of which 16,000 yojanas are below the earth. Its width is estimated to be 32,000 yojanas at its summit, and 16,000 yojanas at its foot. One yojana equals approximately 8 miles. This king of mountains, Sumeru, is the support of the planet Earth. What's the shape of this mountain? It would seem that it's mushroom-shaped. Srila Prabhupada said, its width is estimated to be 32,000 yojanas at its summit and 16,000 yojanas at its foot. So it's like top-heavy. And one yojana, of course, equals approximately 8 miles. So on the southern side of the land known as Ilavratavarsha are the mountains known as Himavan, Himakuta, and Nishadha. And on the northern side are the mountains Nila, Shweta, and Shringa. Similarly, on the eastern and western side, there are Malyavan and Gandhamadana, two large mountains. Surrounding Sumeru Mountain are four mountains known as Mandara, Meru Mandara, Suparshva, and Kumuda, each 10,000 yojanas long and 10,000 yojanas high. In other words, 80,000 miles. Of these four mountains, there are trees. On these four mountains, there are trees 1,100 yojanas high. A mango tree, a rose apple tree, a kadamba tree, and a banyan tree. There are also lakes full of milk, honey, sugarcane juice, and pure water. These lakes can fulfill all desires. There are also gardens named Nandana, Chitraratha, Vaibhrajaka, and Sarvatobhadra. On the side of Suparsha Mountain is a Kadamba tree with streams of honey flowing from its hollows. And on Kumuda Mountain there is a banyan tree named Shatavalsha, from whose roots flow rivers containing milk, yogurt, and many other desirable things. Surrounding Sumeru Mountain, like filaments of the whorl of the lotus, are 20 mountain ranges. such as Kuranga, Kurara, Kusumbha, Vaikanka, and Trikuta. To the east of Sumeru are the mountains Jathara and Devakuta. To the west are Pavana and Pariyatra. And to the south are Kailasa and Karavira. And to the north are Trishringa and Makara. These eight mountains are about 18,000 yojanas long, 2,000 yojanas wide, and 2,000 yojanas high. On the summit of Mount Sumeru is Brahmapuri, the residence of Lord Brahma. Each of its four sides is 10,000 yojanas long. Surrounding Brahmapuri are the cities of King Indra and seven other demigods. These cities are one-fourth the size of Brahmapuri. That was the chapter summary. So I'll just recite. Text one is in prose. There's no verse here. Rajovacha uktastvaya bhumandalayama vishesho yavad aditya stapati yatra chasau jyotisham karnais chandrama vasah drishyate. That means, well, let's read the word for word. Please repeat after me. Raja uvacha. Maharaj Parikshit said, uktaha, already been said, tvaya, by you, bhumandala, of the planetary system known as bhumandala, ayama visheshaha, the specific length of the radius, yavat, as far as, aditya, the sun, tapati, heats, yatra, wherever, cha, also, asao, that, jyotisham, of the luminaries, ganaihi, with hordes, chandrama, the moon, va, either, saha, with, drishyate, is seen. So, translation. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. King Parikshit said to Shukdev Goswami, O Brahmana, you have already informed me that the radius of Bhumandala extends as far as the sun spreads its light and heat, and as far as the moon and all the stars can be seen. Please repeat. King Parikshit said to Shukdev Goswami, O Brahmana, you have already informed me that the radius of Bhumandala extends as far as the sun spreads its light and heat, and as far as the moon and all the stars can be seen. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, it is stated that the planetary system known as Bhumandala extends to the limits of the sunshine. According to modern science, the sunshine reaches Earth from a distance of 93 million miles. If we calculate, according to this modern information, 93 million miles can be considered the radius of Bhumandala. In the Gayatri Mantra, we chant Om Bhur Bhuvaha Swaha. The word Bhur refers to Bhumandala. Tat Sarvatur Varenyam. The sunshine spreads throughout Bhumandala. Therefore, the sun is worshipable. The stars, which are known as Nakshatra, are not different suns, as modern astronomers suppose. From Bhagavad Gita, 10:21, we understand that the stars are similar to the moon. Nakshatranam aham shashi. Anybody know what that means? Nakshatranam aham shashi. Krishna says, of stars, I am the moon. So the moon is the best of the stars. Which means that the stars are more comparable to the moon. than the sun. Like the moon, the stars reflect the sunshine. Apart from our modern distinguished estimations of where the planetary systems are located, we can understand that the sky and its various planets were studied long, long before Srimad Bhagavatam was compiled. Shukdev Goswami explained the location of the planets, and this indicates that the information was known long, long before Shukdev Goswami related it to Maharaj Parikshit. The location of the various planetary systems was not unknown to the sages who flourished in the Vedic age. Om Agnanatimarantasya Gnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namah Mukam Kuruti Vachalam Pangam Langhayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinataranam Vanshakalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So here we're getting a little bit into the cosmology of this universe that we live in. Generally, we think in terms of the Earth planet, and that's about it. But according to this information, the Earth planet is just a small part of what's really going on in the wider scale of things. Now, the first thing we hear is that King Parikshit said, O Brahman, you have already informed me that the radius of Bhumandala extends as far as the sun spreads its light and as far as the moon and all the stars can be seen. Does anyone remember where did he say this? O Brahman, you've already informed me. According to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, this refers back to the first chapter of this canto, when we were hearing about Priyavrata, and I'll just review that. In text 30, we get this information of chapter 1, this canto. While so excellently ruling the universe, King Priyavrata once became dissatisfied with the circumambulation of the most powerful sun god. Encircling Sumeru Hill on his chariot, the sun god illuminates all the surrounding planetary systems. However, when the sun is on the northern side of the hill, the south receives less light. And when the sun is in the south, the north receives less. King Priyavrata disliked this situation and therefore decided to make daylight in the part of the universe where there was night. He followed the orbit of the sun god on a brilliant chariot and thus fulfilled his desire. He could perform such wonderful activities because of the power he had achieved by worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, in his purport to that verse, Srila Prabhupada notes, there is a Bengali saying which describes that someone is so powerful that he can make the night day and the day night. That saying is current because of the prowess of Priyavrata. So nowadays we find that scientists are trying, for example, to tweak the magnetic influence of the poles and to, in general, to disturb material nature in various ways, ostensibly for the purpose of improving things. So the problem is that they don't understand how to get the power to do that kind of thing. It would appear that Priyavrata Maharaj was successful in basically changing the way that the sun god was operating and carrying on his affairs. But Srila Prabhupada, or actually Shukdev Goswami here, notes that it's because of his worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's a right way and a wrong way to do everything. Now, the next thing is that are we so concerned with the sun here? The sun is spreading its influence far and wide. Later on in this canto, we'll find in chapter 20, some of the prowess of the sun god is actually being described quite nicely. And generally, we find that throughout Vedic literature, the sun god is glorified quite a bit. I'm going to skip ahead to text 46 of the 20th chapter, where there's a brief description of the sun's glories. Well, actually, I'll begin around text 40-something here. The sun is situated vertically in the middle of the universe, in the area between Bhurloka and Bhuvartaloka, which is called Antariksha, outer space. We've already heard from Srila Prabhupada that Bhumandala is illumined by the sun. The reason is that the sun is in between Bhuloka and Bhuvartaloka. The distance between the sun and the circumference of the universe is 25 koti yojanas, that is to say 2 billion miles. The sun god is also known as Vairaja, the total material body for all living entities. Because he entered this dull egg of the universe at the time of creation, he is also called Martanda. He is also known as Hiranyagarbha, because he received his material body from Hiranyagarbha, Lord Brahma. O king, the sun god and the sun planet divide all the directions of the universe. It is only because of the presence of the sun that we can understand what the sky, the higher planets, this world, and the lower planets are. It is also only because of the sun that we can understand which places are for material enjoyment, which are for liberation, and which are hellish and subterranean. If there's no sun, you don't understand whether you're in a good part of town or a bad part of town. All living entities, including demigods, human beings, animals, birds, insects, reptiles, creepers, and trees, depend on the heat and light given by the sun god from the sun planet. Furthermore, it is because of the sun's presence that all living entities can see. And therefore, he is called Drigishwara. What does Drigishwara mean? Lord of sight. The sun god is considered to be the predominating deity of one's faculty of vision. The supreme person, the personality of Godhead presiding over light. Now, in his purport, Srila Prabhupada very nicely describes. He says, in this regard, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Surya Atma Atmatvenopasyaha. The actual life and soul of all living entities within this universe is the sun. The actual life and soul of all living entities within this universe is the sun. He is therefore upasya, worshipable. Mark that word, upasya. Basically, upasya means the same thing as varenya, which Srila Prabhupada has already mentioned in connection with the Gayatri Mantra. We worship this sun god by chanting the Gayatri Mantra, Om Bhur Bhuva Suaha Tat Savitur Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi. Surya is the life and soul of this universe, again, Srila Prabhupada says. And there are innumerable universes for which a sun god is the life and soul, just as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the life and soul of the entire creation. So the sun god animates this whole creation with consciousness, just as the Supreme Lord animates his entire creation with consciousness. And in fact, in Bhagavad Gita, what does Krishna say in chapter 13, text number 32, is it? Anybody know? Yatha prakashiyatyekaha kritsnam lokam imam ravihi. Just as the sun is illuminating the universe, kshetram kshetri tatha kritsnam prakashayati bharata. So the super soul illumines this body with consciousness. So the body is illumined by the super soul, the entire creation is illumined by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and this localized in segment, you can say, this Bhumandala is illumined by the sun god, who is therefore considered to be the representation of the Lord, Narayana. Now, We have information that Vairaja, Hiranyagarbha, entered the great dull material globe called the sun. This indicates that the theory held by so-called scientists that no one lives there is wrong. Bhagavad Gita also says that Krishna first instructed Bhagavad Gita to the sun god, Imam Vivasvate Yogam Proktavan Ahamavyayam. Therefore, the sun is not vacant. It is inhabited by living entities, and their predominating deity is Vairaja, or Vivaswan. The difference between the sun and earth is that the sun is a fiery planet, but everyone there has a suitable body and can live there without difficulty. This is what Srila Prabhupada says in chapter 20 of the fifth canto. So the movements of the sun are described in chapter 21. I don't know, we don't really need to go into that detail. But it is interesting to note that, as stated in text 3, in the midst of that region of outer space, Antariksha, where the sun shines, that is to say, is the most opulent sun, the king of all the planets that emanate heat, such as the moon. So the moon also emanates heat, but the moon is minor. Sun is the king. Raja samasta suramurtir. By the influence of its radiation, the sun heats up the universe and maintains its proper order. It also gives light to help all living entities see. While passing toward the north, toward the south, or through the equator, in accordance with the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is said to move slowly, swiftly, or moderately. According to its movements, in rising above, going beneath, or passing through the equator, and correspondingly coming in touch with the various signs of the zodiac, headed by Makara, Capricorn, days and nights are short, long, or equal to one another. So where is the sun right now? Are the days long or short? Yeah. So it would seem that he's on his northern course. See, we don't often think of this. We think of we think of our office first, then we think of Los Angeles second, then we think, you know, maybe as far as the world, but we don't really think very often of the larger scope of things. What's the result of thinking of the larger picture? We get a truer sense of our own position within it. This is why Bhagavatam goes into such detail. So, when the sun passes through Mesha, Aries, and Tula, Libra, durations of the day and night are equal. When it passes through the five signs headed by Taurus, the duration of the days increases until Cancer. Then it gradually decreases by half an hour each month until day and night again become equal in Libra. Just like when you go to London, if you go to London in the summer, anybody been to London in the summer? What time does the sun set? Maybe 10 o'clock at night. And the sun is up right after Mangal Arati. You see? So this is all because of the speed that the sun is moving. Now, we've already heard that Priyavrata Maharaj didn't really like this situation. He wanted to balance things out a little bit. So he wanted to... He actually drove his chariot around this Sumeru mountain and created so many rims there that created these different islands. Anyway, that's another subject matter. But the sun obviously is a very, very great personality. Here, Prabhupada said a few times, actually, that the sun is the life and soul of this universe. Therefore, we find, back in chapter 7 of this canto, that Maharaj Bharat Maharaj was meditating upon the sun. Text 13 of chapter 7, he says, Maharaj Bharata appeared very beautiful. He had a wealth of curly hair on his head, which was wet from bathing three times daily. Sannyasis bathe three times daily. Grahastas bathe twice daily. Brahmacharis bathe once daily, so it said in the Dharma Shastra. He dressed in a deer skin. He worshipped Lord Narayana, whose body was composed of golden effulgence. Generally, we hear Narayana is what color? Dark. But here, this Narayana is gold. Hiranya. And who resided within the sun. Maharaj Bharata worshipped Lord Narayana by chanting the hymns given in the Rig Veda, and he recited the following verse as the sun rose. Quote, this seems to be from the Shruti. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated in pure goodness. He illuminates this entire universe and bestows all benedictions upon his devotees. The Lord has created this universe from his own spiritual potency. According to his desire, the Lord entered this universe as the Supersoul, and by virtue of his different potencies, he is maintaining all living entities desiring material enjoyment. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who is the giver of intelligence. So Srila Prabhupada notes, according to modern scientists, the material world rests on the sun's effulgence. Due to the sunshine, all planets are rotating and vegetables are growing. We also have information that the moonshine helps vegetables and herbs grow. Actually, Narayana, within the sun, is maintaining the entire universe. Therefore, Narayana should be worshipped by the Gayatri Mantra or the Rig Mantra. What is the Rig Mantra? Srila Prabhupada says in his purport to the previous verse, the predominating deity within the sun is Hiranmaya, Lord Narayana. He is worshipped by the Gayatri Mantra, Om Bhura Bhur Bhuaha Swaha Tat Sarvetor Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi. He is also worshipped by other hymns mentioned in the Rig Veda, for instance, Jaya Sada Savitramandalama Javarti. Within the sun, Lord Narayana is situated and he has a golden hue. That full mantra is very nice. It says, Jaya Sada Savitramandalama Javarti Narayanaha Sarasajasana Sannivishtaha Keyuravan Kanakukundalavan Kiriti Hari Hiranmayavapur Tritashanka Chakraha. The Lord is holding the shankha and the chakra, that is to say the conch shell and the disc, and his hue is golden. He's standing atop a lotus flower within the middle of the sun orb, and he's thus becomes the life and soul of this universe. He supplies sight, he supplies heat that we all require, he supplies light, so many things. So Maharaj Bharata was worshipping the sun, and we're continuing this description of Maharaj Bharata's descendants. So, even in the Brahma Samhita, we find the sun is also glorified, but qualified. Yat chakshuresha savitasa sakala grahanam raja. Of all the planets, sakala grahanam raja. We've already heard that among all the stars, aham shashi, Krishna says, nakshatranam aham shashi. Now, sakala grahanam raja. The sun, however, is the king. So, Suramurtir Ashesha Tejaha, and he is manifesting Ashesha Teja, infinite power, infinite heat and light. That's why he represents Narayana. Only Narayana can supply infinite anything. The rest of us are all limited by our karma, as we heard Srila Prabhupada describe yesterday. Yasyagnaya brahmati sampritta kala chakro govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. The sun, who is the king of all the planets, full of infinite effulgence, and the image of the good soul, is as the eye of this world. Eye of this world. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, in pursuance of whose order the sun performs his journey, mounting the wheel of time. Now, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments here, after all this glorification of the sun god, he says, certain professors of the Vedic religion worship the sun as Brahman. The sun is one of the hierarchy of the five gods. That's called Panchopasana system. They worship five deities, especially the smartas do this. Who do they worship? Vishnu, Surya, Ganesh, Devi, and Mahadev. I think. So, Surya is one of them. Some people target in heat the source of this world, and therefore designate the sun the only location of heat, as the root cause of this world. Notwithstanding all that may be said to the contrary, the sun is, after all, only the presiding deity of a sphere of the sum total of all mundane heat, and is hence a god exercising delegated authority. In other words, because the sun only has authority as far as his heat and light can spread, and we've just heard today how far that is. That's the realm of Bhumandala only. Therefore, he is a god exercising delegated authority. So naturally, this begs the question, who's delegated him? The sun performs his specific function of service, certainly, by the command of Govinda. Because, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, avajananti mamudha manushim tanum ashritam param bhavam ajananto. Krishna says, those who assume that I'm like them, they don't appreciate my supreme majesty and dominance over all things. So we need to hear these things. And these are some things we can say about the sun. Now, finally, in his purport here, Srila Prabhupada concludes, he says, he points out that this is really not new information. Even when Shukdev Goswami spoke this to Parikshit Maharaj, it was not new information. He says it indicates that the information was known long, long before Shukadeva related it. Govinda Dasi told me that Srila Prabhupada told her that nothing is new. Nothing is new. So this science of the sun being the source, basically, and the sustenance of all life in this world, it's not something that has come about within the last 200 years. Obviously, Srimad Bhagavatam cannot be later than the 9th century, according to mundane estimation. We say it goes back longer than that, 5,000 years. And Srila Prabhupada says that actually this idea of the sun's position within the greater cosmic scale of things goes back even before that. So nothing is new. These ideas, they recirculate again and again and again, and people think that they've discovered them, so that their false egos may be gratified. This is how Krishna sustains the conditioned souls within this material world. So the location of the various planetary systems was not unknown to the sages who flourished in the Vedic age. So that's one point he makes. The second point he makes is that the moon, like the stars, simply reflects the sunshine, but the real source of this Ashesha Teja is the sun, that we've already described according to Brahma Samhita. And the extent of the sun's authority or influence is just this Bhumandala. Therefore we chant in Gayatri Mantra, Om Bhur Bhuva Suva Tat Savitur Varenyam. That worshipable effulgence, Gayatri Mantra, of course, this is called Savita Gayatri. There are many different Gayatris that we chant, seven at least. This is the first and the most generic of all of them. And the sun is considered to be representing the Brahman, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has already pointed out. Because there is power there is light there is sustenance there. The sun is the representative of Brahman. So at least in Bhumandala, he spreads his influence. So what is his Bhur Bhuva Suva in the Gayatri Mantra that we chant? These are called Vyahratis. Vyahrati is also... we meditate. There's actually seven planetary systems. They're divided differently. Sometimes we divide them into 14, sometimes we divide them into seven, sometimes we divide them into three. But of the seven planetary systems, these three are mentioned in particular. Bhu means the earthly realm, Bhua means the sky, and Swa means the heavenly realm. So Bhumandala, that's where the sun has his influence. Any questions or comments? Yes, Bhrigupati Prabhu. Yeah. So Bhrigupati Prabhu's question is, it seems like there are two personalities occupying the throne, so to speak, of the sun god. One of them is Narayan, the personality of Godhead. The other one is some jiva soul who's actually been empowered. by Narayana. And I think that's correct. This is another achintya bheda bheda tattva. It's something like we say the deity is marble or brass or wood, even though we know that the deity is in fact Satchit Ananda. Just like we say the spiritual master is Bengali or New York or so many different things we can see. So it's an achintya thing. How can one be a jiva and at the same time be the Supreme Personality of Godhead? The only way, therefore, Srila Prabhupada always very carefully qualifies, is to consider that jiva to be a representative. But he is, at the same time, the representative is the Supreme Lord, in the sense that he is carrying out his order. Yasyajnaya. Archita, you want to offer something?
Yeah, but it specifically mentioned that there is an Orion form permanently there in the sun. Obviously, Krishna is in every atom. But in this particular case, as opposed to other planets, where we have Mother Bhumi who is representing the Earth planet, but we never hear that there is a particular form of Krishna or Vishnu lying here in the Earth planet. But on the sun planet, it's specifically mentioned that Narayan is there in his splendor. It's described how his weapons are being held, and he's there permanently. He is the source of that unlimited. And as you mentioned, jiva cannot be a source of unlimited anything. The jiva can represent the unlimited. So in this particular planet, Krishna is there in an expanded form, Narayan, where he's supplying all this unlimited heat and light. And the jiva soul is considered to be the, as Prabhupada mentioned, in other universes, there are other suras. You know, Suryas, they're different sun gods in every universe. But the all that power is coming from a particular form of Narayan who's eternally or resident in the sun as long as the sun exists. As opposed to, say, the Earth planet and other planets where there are predominating deities, but there's not. I've never seen any mention of a particular expansion of Krishna in each planet that's providing whatever strength that planet has.
Yeah.
But particularly in the case of the sun, it's mentioned that Narayan is there, separate from the sun god himself.
Yeah, that's a very good point. The sun is special category. But again, the Krishna is Sakshat Haritena Samasta Shastra. We see the spiritual master as the external manifestation of the Paramatma as long as that body is alive. When the spiritual master's Vapu is no longer available, then he's elsewhere. He's in his Vani at least. So it's an achintya bheda bheda. And it's important to see this because this is a ubiquitous principle in our philosophy, that how something can be two things at once, two opposite things at once. It's so, inconceivably. Anything else? Internet question.
Do the people who worship the sun get spiritual benefit? That's the question.
People who worship the sun, do they get spiritual benefit? I guess it depends on how you define spiritual. You know, as we said, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, those who are worshipping the sun, they may consider the sun to be Brahman, and in that sense, they're getting some spiritual benefits. Certainly the whole Vedic process, although it's very gradual, does elevate one spiritually, at least in the sense that only a civilized human being, defined not biologically but more in terms of dharma, can realize God or become spiritually advanced at all. Dogs and cats and other animals cannot really do this. So in that sense, by worshipping the sun or by worshipping any other demigod, one can make spiritual advancement. But if one's understanding is not accurate, if one has a misunderstanding that the sun is independent of Krishna, or that the sun is, you know, somehow or other, you know, the devotional service is not part of that, then it's limited as to how much one can advance. So the best thing is to take the direct path of bhakti yoga. So we're hearing about the sun. This should give us some sense of our own insignificance. It should also remind us that Krishna is all-pervading and fully in control of his every nook and corner of his creation. And this makes us Krishna conscious. But for our own spiritual advancement, we want to take a more direct route. We want to perform Sankirtana, as given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, under the orders of a spiritual master representing him, and basically chant Hare Krishna. That's the most effective way to make spiritual advancement in this Kali Yuga, because other processes, even if they're given in the Vedas, are not going to be very effective due to the defects inherent in this age. Anything else? Yes, Prabhu.
I believe in earlier classes, correct me if I'm wrong. So it goes Brahma, localized Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So Brahma would be compared to the effulgence of the sun. Paramatma would be the surface of the sun, and Bhagavan would be the inner core of the sun. So would that be similar, like Surya would be, say, the surface of the sun, localized Paramatma, and then Bhagavan would be Narayana, the inner core of the sun. And so would Narayana, would that represent Krishna himself, or is that just an expansion of Krishna?
I think what we're dealing with here is an analogy. And analogies have limitations. I don't think we're really meant to understand that there's any kind of literal identity there in this case. With regards to this particular analogy. The analogy is meant to help us see the relationship between Brahman, Paramatman, and Bhagavan, not to identify the sun god in particular with any particular form of the Lord. Anything else? Okay. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.